Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Hello, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are talking money as we always do each week. And today we are going to have a show that it always comes back to the same thing, and that's getting your finances fixed once and for all. And today we're going to talk about some basics of financial planning that I think everybody should know about and kind of walk you through a system here. And, you know, it begins with the mindset of, you know, what we were taught growing up. You know, sometimes we have to break the habits. Because those habits, I see it all the time, and there's nothing, you know, you think about your mom and dad, you say, well, they don't have any influence on me. Oh, yeah, they do. They either have an influence that you do exactly opposite of what they do, or you do exactly like they do. I want you to ask yourself how many people you know that, you know, are multi-generations of, say, law enforcement or military or doctors or whatever it may be, real estate business. You know, I know in my business, the financial business, we see this all the time. And so, you know, you think about your family does have a huge impact. So I had a person come in who has been a client of mine, and I just want to kind of throw out something. And so they had a 16-year-old granddaughter, and the granddaughter earned some money, earned $1,300 for the year last year, and they decided that they would put $1,000 into a Roth IRA for the 16-year-old, because a 16-year-old can qualify if they have income, and she had $1,300 of income. So the grandparents said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and put that money into an investment. And we had already done this once before, where we had what I do is what's called a family financial workshop. And so for our clients, one of the things that they want and I want them to have is educated kids, because the worst thing you could ever do is go sacrifice your whole life. And the next thing you know, you the inheritance goes and it disappears. Matter of fact, many, many years ago, I was I met with someone, and they had inherited. I was told, I was referred to them, they had inherited some money. And there were two school teachers. Now, I want you to think about this. Two school teachers didn't have any money really saved, and they inherited some money, and they went out and bought matching Corvettes. How about that? The husband and wife, they had no money, all right? And then they get their first chance, okay? They inherit some money, and they bought matching Corvettes. You know, something that's going to drop like a rock, and they had their chance. So why did they do that? Well, it was because they just weren't educated. That's what it was. They didn't know what to do, and, you know, they're in the consumption mode. Well, anyway, this 16-year-old, we opened that up, and I said, well, you know, let's look at what would happen, and this was an actual fund. And I'm not going to name the fund or anything like that, but this was a fund that had started 45 years ago. And so I went back and I said, well, if 45 years ago they had chosen to put that money into a bank account, and, you know, today 3% is high, but we went ahead and we said, well, 3%, 45 years ago, a one-time $1,000 investment, 45 years later was going to be about $3,700. So a one-time investment, $1,000, 3%, $3,700. And then I said, well, what if they'd put it into this growth fund that had been around for 45 years? So now they're 16-year-old. It's going to be 61 years old. And we ran it out. We said, well, we don't know what the future holds, but what did it do in the past? Well, that $1,000 grew to $376,000 versus $3,700. Or another way you look at it is what is that? $3,700 times 1,000? Is that right? No? Yeah, 300 or times 100 is 370, so 100 times more. So everybody has got this, because here's what's going to happen. My question to you is that 376,000 versus 3,700, what's going to happen going out in the future if people keep investing and leaving it alone? That's what happens. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to understand that maybe you've been taught things early on, all right, that just don't make sense. And the reason that you believe it is because you've got well-meaning friends and family that are good people, but they just happen to not know anything about money. They just happen to be broke. They just happen to, you know, get up every day and do the same thing over and over again, and they don't understand why they're not getting ahead. So let me give you some examples that we were told early on. The first thing is you should go open a savings account. And so as a young kid, hey, you need to go open you a savings account. And then once that happens, you need to get a good education, go to college, and get a college degree. The third thing we were told is then find a good company, get you a good job with benefits. And so you do that. And then you got to establish credit. You need to go down to the bank. You need to maybe put some money in the bank and open a credit card up so you can establish credit. You want to stay away from all those commission-only kind of businesses. And if you go and decide to start your own business, understand there's so much risk involved, you could lose it all. All right? So then what happens is you follow that advice and you're like, hang on a second. Hold on here. I'm not getting what I want. You know, I have no money. I've got student loans. I got a job that I can't stand. Those benefits are not paying the bills for me. I have great credit because I'm in debt. I have no incentive pay because I avoided that. And boy, I sure would like to be my own boss, but I chose a different route. And so we're brought up being told certain things rather than what the wealthy tell you to do. The first thing the wealthy tells you to do is invest your money. For instance, you know, when I met with this person and their 16-year-old has come in, sit through one of these family financial workshops, they understand the difference in money in the bank, become an owner, not a loaner, and investing your money. A college degree, maybe. I'm not going to bash a college degree, but you know what? There's a lot of good things out there that you can do with. Maybe you want to get some kind of vocational training, or maybe you want to start a business, whatever it may be. Rather than having a job with benefits, you own your business. Rather than having credit, great credit, you have cash. All right? So you start thinking about that. Rather than avoiding things that take on risk yourself, okay, you look for things that take on risk that you take. Now, why do we want to take risk? Because that allows us to get the reward. The last thing is this, rather than worrying about self-employed, think about this. Would you rather own or would you rather rent? Would you rather own or would you rather rent? So stick with me today. We're going to talk about A to Z, the recipe, all the way from getting started all the way through retirement and picking the right choices for your investments. This is going to be a great show. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Roy Matlock Jr., and I want you to mark a date, March the 7th. March the 7th. You know, we had our Fix Your Finances webinar that was an incredible success. We had, get this, over 2,600 people that tuned into our Fix Your Finances webinar back in January. And March the 7th, we're doing it again, except this is your financial vision 2020. You know, everybody wants a 2020 vision. Well, this is your financial vision, and I've brought along with me some of the greatest minds that you will ever listen to for this incredible webinar, and it's going to be on Saturday, March the 7th, and we're going to teach you the A to Z, and it's going to be coming from, I think, a dozen people, maybe more. We got so many good topics and little outkicks plus bonus sections and stuff like that. It's going to help you get your finances fixed once and for all. So the financial workshop webinar right from your home, your financial vision 2020, March the 7th. Visit roymatlockjr.com to find out how to register. It's free, roymatlockjr.com. And let's fix our finances 2020. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. And today we are going to walk you through A to Z on how to get your finances fixed. You know, it started with the right mindset, you know, about what is the recipe for getting your money working for you. The other thing that you want to do is you want to make sure that your kids know what's happening. Working very hard to try to get my kids educated. I mean, we started them out when they were little kids. I started out by having them look at a mutual fund, different mutual funds. And what I did is I just showed them the different companies that the mutual funds owned. And I let them pick out some funds on their own and put some of their own money in there, even when they're just making little odd jobs, things like that, because I wanted them to figure it out. And I'll never forget one of my sons, he's like, GameStop. They own GameStop and Nintendo, and so he went in there and he picked the one that had companies that he knew about, and so put that money in there. And it was interesting. I think he put $600 or $700 in there, and that thing's up about four times. I mean, it's pretty cool when you can take a 13-14 year old and teach him about things like that. And so, what we want to do is we want to have a correct financial recipe. Now, what is a financial recipe? Well, the recipe is like anything else. If you put ingredients in, you know, we go buy that recipe, and if you put the ingredients in, you're going to get what you want out of it. And so, there's a financial recipe that you need to use if you're going to move forward. So let's start thinking about baking your cake, your financial cake. We'll do that. So recipe number one, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we spend less money than we make. How about that? That's a pretty good plan. So we want to have a profit from our earnings. What that means is that if you're both husband and wife are working, if you're on your own by yourself, here's what you're doing. You're making sure there's money left over for you. And when I say money left over, actually, you're going to pay yourself first. And that might be through your 401k, that might be through your Roth IRA, whatever it may be. Let me give you a little number here. This was the end of 2019. The average 401k balance rose 17% last year to $112,300, according to Fidelity Investments. So the average 401k rose that. Fidelity said the average worker who participated set aside 8.9% of their pay in the 401k, and with matching funds contributed 13.5% to their 401k. So now that's good for about 60% of the population, actually closer to 50%, because if they're involved, they did that. It's working, their accounts, average $100,000, that kind of thing. For some of you right now, you're not putting your money in your 401k, you're missing out on the match. Let me give you some other keys to the saving money and moving forward to begin with. Consistent contributions and giving them time to grow are keys to building bigger portfolios. According to Fidelity Investments, among workers who have been in their 401k for 10 straight years, the average balance rose to $328,000. How about that? So, guys, if you are putting your money in your 401k, now think about this, all right, that and you do it for 10 years, the average is $328,000. So I remember this. I remember thinking, man, you know, if I could, you know, get $100,000 saved or I can get $300,000 saved, what it would be like? What would the security be? You know, it, I don't care who you are right now. You can live on nothing if you have to. And let's say that you are like, I can't live on less than $40,000. There's no way I can live on less than $40,000. Well, if you have $328,000 saved, then that's like 7-8 years after taxes that you put aside. So here's what it says. For workers who have been in their 401k for at least 10 years, the average balance is $328,000. It's pretty cool, right? So here's another stat. Half of U.S. household age 55 and above, 48%, had no retirement savings as of 2016, according to estimates from the Government Accountability Office. So some of you... you don't have anything happening. So you know what I would do right now is figure out how to get my budget in place so I can start saving money. So recipe number one is we're going to get a budget in place where we spend less than we make and we free up a gap. If there's not a gap initially, then we need to start working through and working out of bad decisions. That might be sell a car. That might be sell your house. Okay, I can tell you stories. I had a young couple that they were in my business. And one of the things I used to tell my guys, I still tell them this, I say, you know, one of the first things you want to be able to do is if you meet with somebody, you be able to tell them how you're doing. All right, and if you can tell them how you're doing and you're doing good or you're moving in the right direction, that's a positive deal. And so one of my rules for my financial advisors, if they wanted to be full-time in the business, they had to be without consumer debt. You know, they had to... you know, get rid of all that. And so they would go and sell their car. They'd do all kinds of stuff in order to do it. And one of them one time, he and his wife came in and they had like $30,000 of credit card debt, car payments and all that. And, you know, putting $50 a month in their retirement plan. And I'm like, look, you're broke. You don't have anything going on. You go out there and people ask you how you're doing and you say, hey, I'm a disaster. And you want to go full time in this deal. Here's what you need to do. You need to fix that. And they're like, what do we do? And I told them exactly what they needed to do, which I figured they wouldn't do it. And I said, well, here's what I would do to begin with. What I would do is I would sell your house, take the equity, and I would get rid of all these debts that you have. All right. And I would rent. I would get rid of those two cars that are overvalued, sell them, because now if you pay them off, you can sell them, buy you a cheap car or two, and then you're going to be, your balance sheet's going to look like this. No, you don't own a home. You're going to be renting, but you're going to be in a position to where you have no car payments, you have no credit card payments, you have an emergency fund, and your income is where you can live on one income, you can save the other income, and you can move forward. Well, they did it. Guess what? They did it. Next thing you know, the first year that guy made about $35,000 working with me. The second year, he made $100,000 and had $100,000 in savings about 18 months later from being saving $50 a month and $30,000 in credit card debt. So how quickly can you fix it? You can fix it if you want to fix it. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to make it happen. And so with that being said, we're going to be coming back after the break. We're going to continue on the recipe on how to get your finances, you know, fixed once and for all. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Roy Matlock, and I have people all the time tell me they love the show. You know, I've been doing this forever and ever. It seems like I first went on the radio back in the early 90s, helping people with their money. And the only problem I hear right now is they still say the same things. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about the stock market. What's going to happen with the presidential election? What is going to be going on here? I don't know what to do. Well, let me give you some ideas on what to do. The first thing is visit RoyMatlockJr.com. And you know what I have that we're going to be down giving you as a free download? And I think this is cool. You can take this to work and look at it. And it shows you a review of all the presidential elections that have been all the way back to 1934. And it tells you what the a $10,000 investment would have done. And you're going to see you got red and blue and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? You can download this right at roymatlockjr.com. I would encourage you to do that. And if you need help when it comes to your money, pick up the phone, 615-843-2999. We'll do a 10-minute call. But I would go check this out. It's a free download. And it's called Elections Come and Go, but Results Last a Lifetime. And I think it's very interesting. You can take it to work, have something to talk about when it comes to your money. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr., and this is the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, where we talk about the two things that affect you more than anything else, and that's how to earn money and grow your income, as well as how to handle your money and create the gap that's called the quality of life gap. And that's the difference between your income and your outgo. And we're talking about the recipe today to getting your finances fixed. And we talked about, to begin with, setting up a budget. How do we set the budget up? Real simple. When you set a budget up, first thing you do is you take all of your income that's coming in and you say, well, if I had no expenses, all of these expenses that I've obligated myself, if I had none of them, would I repurchase? Would I sign back up? And you say, I wouldn't do that, then cancel it. If you can't cancel it, figure out how you can get out of it over a period of time. All right? So what we do is we then go back through our budget and we say we got this much income, we got no expenses. Now let's look at everything we actually have been spending money on. And you say, well, would I have a $300 cable bill? Nope. Wouldn't do that. Would I have a house that's eaten up 80 hours of my life just to pay for it? Nope. I'll probably need to sell that, downsize a little bit. Would I spend $600 a month on my car if I had to do it over again? Nope. I'm going to work out of that and get rid of that. I'm going to buy something less expensive. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start thinking about how great it will be to not be stressing over money again. And so that's how we set a budget up. The forms, you can visit roymatlockjr.com and you can get these budget forms. And if you go into, I've got a numerous podcast in there just on how to set this up where we get into a lot of detail, that kind of thing. So then what we're going to do is we're going to start building this recipe. We got the budget in place. We're going to get us an emergency fund set aside. And we do that about 3 months of income. If you had a client come in and I told them, I said, you know, your scenario, they had a couple of kids, and, or actually they had three kids, if I'm correct. And the first thing that happened when we started looking at their situation is their income was kind of tight. And so that was a problem. And but they did have some equity in their house. And so what was happening, let me look here how this worked. And this is kind of advice that I gave. Had a house that was worth a couple hundred thousand, but they had credit cards and student loans of about $20,000. And that was about $500 a month that was going out. But they only had $57,000 of income. And so when they had that income and having numerous kids, you know, the in one income, they were having problems making it each month. And so what I said was, what if we were to go in and refinance all of this into a mortgage and consolidate the debt? And so we talked about that, consolidate the debt. And then that, because they had $170,000 sitting in their retirement account. So really all they needed to do was just make sure that they didn't have an emergency to where they had to hit that retirement account. And so we looked at that and we said, well, you could go in there and refinance your house and also do what's called an equity line of credit. And you can go and you can cut the $500 a month that's going out in loans and stuff like that, cut that way down, just pay the interest on it. It's not that big a deal. Create a cash flow plan where now you've got an emergency fund that you can start uploading or saving. And then additionally, what you can do is start moving forward toward maybe put money in your 401k. So sometimes you just need to make a few tweaks that will allow you to get out of the mess you're in. But if you don't have an emergency fund and you have a bunch of equity in your house, I always tell people go and set up an equity line of credit. That way it's there if you need it. If something were to happen and you lost your job, hey, guess what? You got something there. So we want to get our emergency fund set to begin with. And the reason we want to do that is because we don't want to go and have a major setback because that would not be good to have a major setback, right? And so what we want to do is we want to protect against that. So we start with a budget. We have an emergency fund. We're going to eliminate consumer debt. Now, we may have to, there's several ways you can do it. You can obviously pay it off. And one of the ways you do that is you free up money to save in other areas and you start doing what's called a snowball. That's been going on. I've recommended that now for, since I was on the radio back in the early 90s as a way of doing things. And what that means is you take your smallest debt and you just start eliminating it. So if you owe a small credit card, you just go ahead and pay all the extra money of that, get it paid off. And now rather than having six credit cards, you have five and four and three and so on. And every time you pay one off, you add that payment to the next one. And that's a way of doing it. And if you have cash flow to do that, that's the starting point. One of the ways you fix that might be to pick up some extra income, cut some expenses, do all that kind of stuff. And if you can do it, great. The second way is you consolidate it. And debt consolidation is something that does work. It's not a bad thing. I have dealt with people that have done debt consolidation, been very successful. So it's not debt consolidation. It's debt consolidation. It's a way to take everything that you have that has gotten you in trouble. And you can go in and maybe put it in the form of a consolidation loan, mostly in the form of a home equity loan, something like that. You get lower interest rates by doing that rather than 18 or 20% on a credit card. You get it down to something in the low rates, like a mortgage. You can do that. So that would be one way you can do it. One of the keys to that is you got to have a budget in place. Last thing you want to do is go and consolidate your debt and then turn right back around and go right back into debt. So we don't want to do that. So we do those kind of things. So now what we're doing, we're building the recipe. What's recipe number one? We get a budget, we get an emergency fund, and we start getting out of debt. Now when we get out of debt, that frees up money to save, which allows us to start accumulating money. Then we're going to go to buying the right insurance. Let me give you some examples about insurance. Life insurance, you need to take and figure out what the best, the amount of coverage you need is. I'm going to give you some examples on how you do that. For instance, if you want to buy life insurance, one of the things I do is I say to myself, okay, how much am I making right now? I'm making 80 grand. And my family depends on that. All my bills depend on that. That 80 grand is what I do. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to look and say, going out into the future, I need to have that income coming in. And so we're going to come back and have a lump sum right up front in order to be able to set up a lump sum that would pay that income out. So if I'm making 80 grand a year and I got 20 more years to work, it's $1.6 million. Dollars I'm going to earn without a raise. I ask you, how much of that do you think your family would want to have if something happened to you? And they always tell me all of it. And you say, well, how much lump sum, if it was invested, would we need to replace that $1.6 million? And it might be, we come back and we say, well, we need $800,000. So if we got $800,000, you could pull $80,000 a year out for 20 years and it'd be gone. All right, if you got maybe 8% on your money. So it's a math problem. So what kind of insurance do we buy? We buy term insurance. That gives you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of money. So we buy term insurance with a goal of we get to retirement, and guess what? We don't need it anymore. And so that's the idea on how you buy life insurance. There's other life insurances that you can buy. You can buy a whole life. You can buy universal life. In my opinion, Bad deal. I wouldn't do it. I would never do it. I've been telling people never do that forever. And the reason is that you can take your money, buy term insurance, and then take and put your money elsewhere in an investment, maybe a Roth IRA, whatever it may be. And most of the time, if you are disciplined like you should be, guess what's going to happen? That 401k does better than those life insurance policies. And so what do I tell people that have some cash value life insurance? You always should do a comparison. And it's real simple. You say, right now I'm paying this. If I die, I get this. If I retire, I get this. If I were to swap it out and buy a term, I could get this much more. If I were to die, take the savings between the premiums and the cash value that's in the one that's there, invest that. What would it end up doing? Probably end up doing better, and you would be much better off, live or die, and that's the goal, live or die, to get you financial independence. So that's how we buy life insurance. When we come back, we'll talk about more things to free you up money to save when it comes to the insurance, and then we're going to get into 401ks and things like that. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back. Hey, Roy Matlock Jr., and we're finishing up today, and you know, I hope this has been helpful. You know, every time I do this, I think, man, should I just continue covering a lot of the same things over and over and over again? Absolutely, because, you know, I think if you listen in, you're going to find that most of this stuff, you just need to, you know, start out thinking in terms of, I don't know anything. Now, let me listen. Let me get the lingo down. Let me figure out what's going on. Then you start kind of understanding the lingo about how money works and what to do. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, I've heard that before. So, guys, when you get to a point where you're not learning anything, then there's a good chance that you have learned something. And so I always like to say the most boring show you'll ever listen to, but you're going to learn something. And then what we do is continue to go back and forth to the fundamentals in order to get you there. When we came out of the break, talked about life insurance, buying term life insurance and getting the right amount of coverage and things like that. And some of the things that I would avoid, you know, I can't say, you know, on a show like this without meeting with you that, you know, that it's 100%. I believe it's 100%. You're better off a term. But, you know, we're not sitting here across from you. That's why you have a financial advisor to take a look at what's going on. And so we do that. If we buy other insurance, which we do, we need to have proper liability because if you have a wreck or anything like that, you know, you want to make sure that you have enough liability insurance that if you hit somebody or somebody hits you, that you're protected. That would involve your car and your home. I would also raise my liabilities and purchase what's called an umbrella policy if you are in a position where you've got some assets. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. You know, it's a cheap lawyer to buy a several million dollar personal umbrella policy. I did that, and one time I had to use it. And so keep that in mind. Health insurance, there's, you know, lots of ways to save money on health insurance. I know if you're self-employed like myself, one of the things that I do is I buy catastrophic insurance, which allows me to, you know, I pay my own way and I cut my premium, but I've got a big policy in the event that I have an emergency and like a real health problem, then I'm going to be in good shape. But otherwise, I pay my own way and I save money and I actually negotiate with the providers and I go anywhere I want to go. I don't have to worry about it because, you know, there's, you know, they're all willing to take cash. I've noticed that. I've been doing that since my 28-year-old daughter was born. Isn't that crazy? Catastrophic insurance. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of dollars I've saved on health care because I pay cash for it. And so anyway, what about some other insurance? You got disability insurance. That's something that in the event you were to get hurt and couldn't work, that's something you may want to consider. There's different types of disability insurance. One is that specific if you're disabled, period, and the other is specific to you can't do your job. Maybe you're a doctor or something like that, and you can no longer do that. So you are reasonably good health, but you just can't do your work anymore, and so You can buy specific disability coverage. Another thing is long-term care. Long-term care is nursing home, is what most people think, but it also covers home health. It covers assisted living, and then also the nursing home. And when you buy those kind of things, again, anytime you self-insure, meaning that you pick up part of the cost in the way of waiting times or deductibles, things like that, it will allow you to save money. And then you get yourself with the goal of getting financial independent to where you're self-insured, and in many cases, you'll drop some of those kind of coverages. So we do those kind of things. Insurance is the foundation that protects us and brings us back in the event something unexpected happens. And so what you want to do, you spend a lot of money on insurance. You want to make sure you know what you're getting. You don't want to wait until something happens to find out whether or not it's what you want to do. So then what we do is we move toward long-term savings. A couple keys to that: time and consistency. We talked about that with the, someone that's been in a 401k for 10 years, average balance is about $300,000. So that means if you consistently start saving money, give yourself time, it will happen. You want to get a better rate of return. I'm not going to get into this, but if you want to go to roymatlockjr.com and check out the download, How Money Works, and look up toward the back of the book, The Rule of 72, Time and Consistency, learning how to get a better rate of return on your money by becoming an owner, not a loaner. It's a great segment on everything you want to know about that. It's the basics. And guess what? The basics, guys, are the key. Let me get to tell you what I see about basics. Basics are this. What you do is you work on your income and you work on controlling what you spend. You get your money working for you, not against you, meaning you get it growing, get it into things that actually make money, all right? You don't take ridiculous risk. You go out and put yourself in a position to where when opportunities come along, you're prepared for them, and off you are to the races. And so that's what I tell people. So then we start looking at retirement plans. That would be a Roth IRA, a 401k, stuff like that. We're going to do things like that. You got to take advantage of the 401k. Let me give you some ideas that you might want to look at. First thing you need to do is understand what a 401k is. And a 401k is a tax-advantaged investment account. It's a retirement account that your employer offers. Many cases, they will match. There's also a Roth 401k. Now, without meeting with you, I can't give you the exact advice, but generally speaking, the younger you are, the Roth is going to probably be a better plan for you. The older you are, chances are, if your income is high and you're not completely ahead of the game when it comes to your savings, you might want to take the tax deduction. But the difference in a 401k that's a pre-tax is you take it off your taxes now, you pay it later, and you'll be required with the new SECURE Act to start withdrawing at age 72, all right, called a required minimum distribution. Or you can do a Roth, you pay taxes now, and then what ends up happening is that it's tax-free later. So the first thing is you understand what a 401k is. Second thing is you determine how much you can put in. So if you're under 50 right now, you can put in $19,500 that you can contribute, and then you're going to end up having more than that because of matching funds and start like that. And so let me give you an example here. Let's say that you start young. Now, if you're over 50, you can do a makeup. It takes it up over $25,000, so you can start socking away additional money. But here's two examples. Starting at age 19, you do $2,000 to your account every year until you're 27, and you stop contributing. If you get 10% return on your money, you'll have $1 million at retirement. So what does that say? Is put in $2,000 a year from age 19 to age 27 and stop. And then for the next 38 years, you spend it all. If you got 10% on your money, you'd have $1 million. Now, if you, from 19 to 26, you don't put any money in, and you start at 27, and you put $2,000 a year in for the rest of your life, all the way to 65, if you get 10%, you're going to end up with about the same amount of money. How about that? Is that crazy? So what that means is that you want to start young and get started as quickly as you can. But realize this, that the best time to get started is now. You can't go back. So let's get started now. Third thing on your 401k, if you're trying to make some decisions on it, is figure out your risk tolerance. In other words, the younger you are, the more you would have your money in growth type investments. The nearer you are to retirement, you'd probably back it off. There's a lot of different rules on that, but rules of thumb, that is. But the first thing I would do is I would get with someone that can help you figure out your risk tolerance. Risk tolerance is the key to ending up doing well, because here's what happens. If you get into something that's too risky for your tolerance, you're liable to cash out. And if you cash out, you lose. And so what you want to do is you want to put it in something that you feel comfortable with, that over a long period of time, you're going to leave it alone, forget about it. Hey, we have some ups and downs in the market. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Then what we're going to do, number four, is we're going to go out and pick our funds. Now, I can talk a lot about picking funds and things like that, but let me tell you what I would do. All right, if you are new to investing, all right, don't go in there and try to figure this thing out. Here's what you do. If you have access to what's called a target date fund it's set up for you. All you do is you take your birth year and add 65 to it, and that's going to give you basically the target date that you want to choose. And the way this thing works is that target fund will automatically be more aggressive when you're young, and it'll get more conservative when you get at or near retirement. And so all you do is take your birth year, add 65 to it. There's your number. Now, if you want to retire earlier, you take your birth year and do 60. Then calculate what's called your FIN number, which we do that for people. First thing I do is work with people. I say, look, here's, you know, when do you want to retire? And they say age 60, how much do you have saved? Okay, what's your monthly goal you'd like to have? Presto, let's inflate it. Your amount of money you have saved now is going to be worth this. You need to be saving this much money each month if you want to retire at 60. They say, well, how am I doing? Well, right now, you're $300,000 short. So we got two choices. We can raise our contributions to this, all right? Or what we can do is we can move it back to 63 and come up with a number there. And then as you get older, guess what you need to do? And this is the next one, scale your contributions up. In other words, start putting more money in and increase your contributions, max it out if at all possible, and you will start seeing dramatic results, just like that Fidelity Investments. If you do it 10 years, you got $300,000 on average. That's the average person has that if they do something like that. And so what we do is we make decisions every day. We decide if we're going to spend it or we're going to save it. What are we going to do? Are we going to get excited about spending or are we going to get excited about saving? Well, I like to do both. And the way I do both is that I plan ahead, I get my money working for me, I take advantage of rate of return, time and consistency, I spend less than I make, and then as I get bigger and bigger net worth, it allows me to do things that maybe I couldn't do without the sacrifice. And so as I close today, I want to encourage you to do two or three things. Number one is to set some goals. Find out what your FIN number is. Find out what you need to be saving. And we can do that for you at roymatlockjr.com. And so I want you to think about that. And then I want you to take action. Procrastination costs you money. The one thing that you can count on is the money that you don't save this month will not be there later. All right. So what you want to do is you want to start right now thinking about this. And I'm going to give you one last thing that you might want to just really put on your calendar, for sure put on your calendar. Put March 7th on your calendar. March 7th is the time that we are going to be doing our 2020 financial vision. And it will be great, and you will be in a position to where you'll learn from the very best. Go to roymatlockjr.com, or you can call directly at 615-843-2999. This is one more show we have wrapped up. Be sure and visit our podcast at roymatlockjr.com. We have tons of those to help you get educated, and I'll talk to you later.